Welcome to the Yeshiva Shalmaila. This is David Lichtenstein. This week we'll be speaking about pictures in Shidduchim. Been a lot of discussion about it lately. And additionally, what to reveal and what not to reveal. We'll have Rabbi Henoch Plotnick. He's Rosh Yeshiva in Chicago, Meira Torah for many years. He's a Rav for 30 years. He wrote Kiryat columns and the Ated and the Mishpacha about Shidduchim. We'll have Rabbi Shlomo Goldberger. He's director of the Shidduch Center of Baltimore. He speaks to hundreds of young people every year about Shidduchim. He coaches for Shidduchim. We're going to have from Brooklyn, Bella Beer. She's a Shadchan, a coach. She's also a columnist in the Ated, a Shidduch columnist. We'll have Tova Weinstein, who put up a website or an email address to respond to this issue, pictures in Shidduchim and not. And then we'll have Reb Meir, a younger man who's very pro-pictures. He was in Shidduchim for many years. So we're going to have really a give and take going both ways on this. I think you'll enjoy it. Before we go to our guest, I want to say a thought. The Haggadah starts with Manishtana, a number of questions. Why does it start with questions? I want to ask you another question. The Bris Bein Absarim, Avram discovers the Ribbono Shel Olam. And what does the Ribbono Shel Olam tell him? Arba Me'e Shana, your children are going to be in gullus, in servitude. I mean, that's a really tough message to tell somebody who's basically a Baal Tshuva for a number of years. Like, why? What Avera did he do? What Avera could he possibly have done for Arba Me'e Shana? And here's a few more things to think about. The entire Leil HaSeder is surrounded with Genevis, with Arma. Where is that? Rashi says, by Loit, Vayaslahem Mishte Umatzais. Rashi says it was Pesach. And if you look at the Pesukim, sounds a lot like Pesach. Kumu tzu'umin ha-makim, they said, the Malachim. What do we say Pesach by night? Kumu tzu'umi toicha'ir, what Rabbi Nisholm said to Kval Yisrael. What did the Malachim say to Loit? Ki mashchis Hashem es ha'ir. What did he say to the Kval Yisrael? V'lo yitein mashchis. What does it say by Loit? V'yisma mea. What does it say by Kval Yisrael, by Yitzias Mitzrayim? V'lo yuchlu l'hisma mea. They sound remarkably a lot. And what happens right after this Yitzia of Light? Nashke es avinu v'nishkeva imai v'layed v'layoda b'shichbo v'kuma. Let's fool. Let's trick. Let's be dishonest. Geneva's das with our father. First time we see Pesach, it's with Geneva's das. The second time we see Pesach, it says that when Yitzchak ate from the two G'deizim, Rashi says one was neged Pesach and one was for Chagiga. And what has happened there? Yaakov says, Ani Esav b'chayrecha. He stole the brachis. Ba achicha b'mirma. Second time we see it. Gneva, ba achicha b'mirma. Let's continue. Moshe, he goes to Pari. What does he say? He's going to do Isis and Moifsim. But he says, interestingly, with Gneva's das, Derech shloishes yamim v'navda salikenu. It wasn't Derech shloishes yamim. Everybody knows that. The next time in Mitzrayim, V'yishalu isha meis shchenta, koi kesev u koi zav. I mean, it wasn't a shayla, it was just an outright thing. It's again, it's with Genevas das. And what do we say? Our seder, Genevas afi kaiman. What does the Chasam Sofer say? It's a zecher l'genevas habrachas. In fact, you see, some of the esod from Mendel Arimanov, he says, afi kaiman is begimatria b'mirma. So ba'achicha b'mirma, he came very cleverly. And b'mirma, why? Because he gave him from the afi kaiman. And he knew, ba'achicha b'mirma is begimatria afi kaiman. And he knew, since ein maftir nachar pesach afi kaiman, you can't eat after the afi kaiman, that he wouldn't be able to eat from tzedas esav. So we have five Leil HaSeder, Loit, Esav and Yaakov, Derech Shloishes Yamim, V'yishlo Yishim Eishchenta, Geneva Safi Kaiman. Why is that? So the Gra in Safra Disnias, we'll put this all up in our Marama Kaimis, says the Lakichas Habrachas were Bemirma because we learned from the Nachash who fooled Adam Arishain, and he says, Ikesh Tispatal. Let me tell you how I understand it. We live in a dishonest world. You know, an unfair world, monopolies, unfair, fake news from the left and the right, lobbyists, all kinds of ways to try to get yourself an advantage that is really not fair, it's not equal. And what is it saying? The path to Geula is often very a tortuous path. We're dealing in unfair situations very often, adverse situations. We want to get to the right place, and it's often circular. And I'll give you a few examples. I think few people would disagree that the greatest thing that happened to Klal Yisrael in the last 2,000 years since the Churban was the return to Tzion through the Zionists. Who were the Zionists? Herzl, who didn't maul his own son. Achad Am, Sakalov, Zangvil, Sishkin, all these people were fry. Many of them were off the derech. Some of them, Herzl was brought up, you know, as basically a kaifer, an atheist. And yet, through them, we return to Tzion. Right? Shuvu L'Tzion Berina. So, the path to Geula is often very tortured. I'll give you a few more examples. What is one of the most dramatic things that has happened to the world post-Holocaust is the concept of Kollel. What does the Rambam write about it? Kol ha-meisim al-libay, shi-yasik b'tayra, v'lo yetze l'malacha v'yisparnis. He won't get a job. What does Rambam say? V'yisparnis me-tzedaka. So Rambam says, chilel es ha-shem, which is the most chomer of all averus. Biza es ha-tayra, he embarrasses the Torah. Kova mo'ir hadas, noitel chayav me'aylam haba. And he says this again in the Pirush HaMishnayis. Amru Chachamim, Rambam writes, Kol anene midivrei Torah, notel chayiv min olam. Really serious words by the Rambam. And what does Rav Moshe write in Igros Moshe? He writes, it's an ace, lasais lashem, heferu tarasecha. Heferu, what does it mean, heferu tarasecha? We put the Torah's rules on the side. It's an ace, lasais lashem. What is the concept of ace, lasais lashem? Ba'achicha b'mirma. In Galus, like in this world, the Goyin says, they took Adam Arishin ended up where he was because of the Armas HaNachash. That's the Derech and Elam Hazeh. Often we have to go b'mirma. Give you another example. Chabad. 5,000 Chabad houses around the world with, I don't know, 10,000 shluchim. And the world has big tainus on them. They say it's true you have real Talmidei Chachamim, but you're sending out your best and your brightest to Dalit Kanfis Arutz without giving them a chance to learn for a few years. And you know what the answer is? The answer is Ba'achicha B'mirma. Very often, less Nehoira Delo Nafik Migei Chashucha, to get to really great places, you have to break some rules. You have to Ace Lases Hashem Eferet Teresecha means you can't make an omelet without breaking eggs. If we want to achieve greatness in this world, it's often B'mirma. And look at this. Leidas Mashiach. How does it come about? From Loit, Nashke Savino V'nishkeva Imai, Hechan Matzasi David Avdei B'Saim. The story of Yehuda and Tamar. Vayar Yehuda, vayach shevel lezayna. And what do the people say? Lehoisa bezek kedesha. What's the next step for Mashiach? Rus hamayavia. Leyave amayniya mayavi bekal Hashem. We just finished the Yom Tov of Purim. Esther. Imagine if the story of Esther happened today. How many pashkevilim would there be about her? And what's the answer? If you lose your ability to walk, wow, do you appreciate your legs again when it comes back? You lose your sight, you appreciate your sight. You don't come to light. We don't appreciate light without going through darkness. So how does the Seder start? How does the story of Geula start? Man Ishtana, with a question. The Bris Ben Absarim, you couldn't create a nation as great as Klal Yisrael without going through darkness. And what does that mean to us personally? If these words are true, and I believe are connecting the dots quite well, every Purim, Chayev Adam Laharis Esatzmei Ki Liyatzim Mitzrayim, from his own Mitzrayim, if you look back at your own life with regrets, we look sometimes at the different Chatzis Nurim we may have done, the mistakes we made, and you know what the Gula of Mitzrayim tells us? Loit, Yaakov, Gnevis HaBrachais, Derech Shleishis Yamim, Ba'achicha B'mirma, the Gnevis HaFikayim, and you know what it's coming to tell you? When you look back at yourself, you couldn't be who you are if you hadn't gone through those mistakes and some of that darkness, because that's the path to Geula. Before we go to our guests, I want to give you an ad from our sponsor, Baruch Hashem. The third volume of Headlines has come out. Some of the topics we discuss are racism. We have BLM topic in the news today, slavery, women in leadership, abusive parents, versus Kibud Av Aim, balancing it. Sons succeeding their fathers in Rabbanus, is it a Nachla, a Yerusha, or is it nepotism? Insects in our fruits and vegetables, how careful do we have to be? Are they right? Or are they making us mishuga? 25 topics like this, all stuff we've discussed on the air, debated in the Sefer, with Mara Mekaymus, with the Rabbanim who we've had on, with their comments. I think you'll enjoy it. It's going to go very quickly. And now for the riddles of the week. I'm going to ask two riddles for the Seder. The Rambam paskins, Kol echad ve'echad, bein anoshim, bein anoshim, schayev lishtois arba kaisis. Question is, on Murer, we make a bracha, even though it's a drabanan. Why weren't they misakin a bracha for the dalad kaisis? Matzah, you say to deraisa, zolzain, but on Murer, you do make. Why is the dalad kaisis a stepchild? Why doesn't it have its own bracha? That's the first riddle. Here's the second interesting question. Halacha is, put out the ravya, if you eat b'li haseba, you eat the matzah, not leaning back, you have to eat again. It's a psul in achilas matzah. So here's the question. If your rebbe is there, you don't have to make haseba. L'chadchila, you're not allowed to make haseba, it's covered the rav. So here's the question. What would happen if somebody ate the matzah b'li haseba? What's the halacha? He has to eat again. The next minute, his rebbe walks in. If he eats it again, he's going to eat it without haseba. Do you say he was yaitza the first time, because eating it the second time, he's by adding on the haseba, he's eating again, he's again going to be out of seba, he added nothing. Well, do you say the first time he wasn't yaitza, the second time he eats without haseba, he is yaitza, and he would have to. That's our two riddles of the week. Before we go to our guests, I want to share with you a story. It's a Hasidish story. I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, but it's powerful, and it spoke to me. And it's in Shaduchim, how careful we have to be. So a Yidala came to the holy Lublin of the Chayz and he said, Rebbe, I've been married for 18 years and I don't have any children. The Lublin closed his holy eyes and he said, how much money do you have? So he says, I have 10,000 ruble. So Lublin said, go home, ask your wife permission. I want you to do something with the money. And if she says yes, come back. The Yidala went flying home, came back a few days later. He said, Rebbe, here's the 10,000 ruble. So the Rebbe said, sit down. We have to talk about something serious. It's a matter of life and death. He said, before you married your wife, anything you happened before? He says, yes, I was engaged to a girl, Rifkala, but then I broke up and I got engaged to my wife. Lublina looked at him and he said, the girl Rifkala, she suffered greatly. You won't be able to have children until you've gotten mechila, until you've gotten forgiveness from her. He says, Rebbe, that was 18 years ago. I don't know where she is now. So the Lublini was called the Chayzi. He could see from one end of the world to the other. Gave him a sharp look. He said, I'll tell you what to do. Go to the fair in Leipzig. Big fair. It was equivalent of New York City. He says, take your 10,000 rubles. You'll meet her there and ask her for forgiveness. The fair was a month. This little Yidala ran around the whole month. Every woman, her height, he looked at. No Rifkala. It was the last day of the fair. You know, sometimes you're desperate. You don't know what to do, and it starts raining. Exhausted, miserable, the Yidala walks under an awning that was there. In a thunderstorm, it's pouring. A beautiful woman, seeking shelter from the rain, also came under the canopy. He moved aside to make place. She looked at him. She said, why is it whenever I come close to you, you move away? Gefald! Rifkala! You recognize me after all these years? That's good. Are you married now? Do you have children? And this guy starts crying. He says, Rifkala, please forgive me for breaking my engagement to you. Do you know, I regret it so greatly. I won't be able to have children unless you give me mechila. It was so long ago. Forgive me. So she said, you know, 18 years is a long time. I'll forgive you, but do something for me in return. Anything. My brother is marrying off a child. In our town in Lithuania, Muj, tiny town in the corner of Lithuania. It's the town where we were born. He hasn't moved. He doesn't have a penny for the wedding. Run there. The wedding is in a week. Get there before the wedding. Give him everything. Give him the 10,000 ruble that you have, and I'll forgive you. This guy bought the best horse he can. He went nonstop 7 days. He traded horses, and he arrives there, and it's before the wedding. He still remembered the house. The brother was at wit's end, trying to get ready for the wedding. Suddenly a man, splattered with mud, appears at the door. I made it on time. I brought you the money you need for the wedding. The brother looks at this spattered, mud, filthy guy. 7 days of driving. He says, listen, I have no time for Mishigayim. Please, just get out of here. I'm under a lot of distress. I have to think. He says, I came to help you. Yeah, you and all the other Mishigayim and Schleppers in town. Hava b'sol rachmanis, I don't have time now. He says, Rifkala. Your sister sent me to you. She told me to come. Why won't you listen to me? I'm telling you the truth. Now I know you're crazy. My sister has been dead for 18 years. He says, that can't be true. I just saw her. He says, go to the cemetery. You'll see her grave. He said, Nachum. He said, don't you recognize me? I was your sister's chassan for 18 years ago. He looked at him. He said, now I remember you. I recognized you. Do you know, after you broke the engagement, she got very sick. She was so in love with you. After you got married, she died of a broken heart. That's impossible. I just saw her. I spoke to her. You saw Rivka Lawir in Leipzig. And he told him the story. And he said, ah, the Chayza brought her down from a different world so that she could forgive you. Why do I say this story? We're going to be talking about pictures, what to answer, what not to answer. I think we should recognize, just on the topic of Shidduchim, hurting another person's feeling is fire, and it can have consequences. So before we say no, or before we say yes when we're going to say no, I think we have to give it really a lot of consideration. Let's go to our guests.
Joining us from Chicago is Rabbi Henoch Platnick. He's a Talmud of Ponovich, of Hesbedrish Gevaya. He's a Rav in Chicago for 25 years. He's the Rosh Masifta of Meir HaTorah. He writes, he's often in Mishpacha, etc. Welcome, Rabbi Henoch.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate your invitation, Rabbi David.
So as a Talmud Chacham, as a Musmach, as a Rav for many years, who's probably seen so many different cases, and as a writer, what is your opinion about passing, you know, giving over pictures in Shidduchim?
Okay, there are a lot of different angles to approach this from. If I could just be mocked in two nekudos before we get down to the nitty-gritty of this issue. A friend of mine told me that Rav Shimon Schwab, when he took his first Rabbonis, was faced with a conundrum. Because by the Germans, it wasn't such a kepeda for the men to shake hands with the women. It was an accepted thing. And Rav Schwab, due to his chinuch in the yeshivas, was very uncomfortable with that. And he had asked Rav Chaim Moshe Grzesinski, what should he do about this now that he's a Rav? And the way the story goes, Rav Chaim Moshe told him, Besef fregmir alaych deshaila in agunas. Why can't you ask me an easy shaila about agunas? I can't even begin to tell you what to say because that's such a shvera shaila. Such a shvera shaila. Nowadays, there's been a lot of discussion, a lot of opinions from all over the place about how to approach this. And the truth is, it's not a life to Shaiwa. It's not an easy Shaiwa. And it's something which people are very, very heavily invested in emotionally. So it's not an easy topic. The other thing I just want to mention from the get-go, there's a vart that I think a lot of us are familiar with. I heard this from the Ponovich Rav. I've seen it in the name of others as well. And that is that we know that there were signs to direct people to the Arei Miklat. If someone killed somebody by accident, b'shoigeg, there were signs directing them where to go. But there were no signs directing people where to go when they were Oyla Regal. You had to ask directions. And the question is why? If we can make signs for this, why can't we make signs for that? And the answer that the Rav gave was because we don't want to talk about murder. You see a person in the street, where are you going? I murdered somebody, b'shoigeg, where do I go? That does not deserve a topic of conversation. Let's just have signs. We don't talk about these things.
Respectfully, Reb Henoch, the more simple shot is, one is a matter of pikuach nefesh, and one is oyla regel tanasei. That's the more pshatava, but I accept his answer, yeah?
Yeah, whereas it comes to oyla regel, it gets people talking about yomtiv, simchas yomtiv. I came from Chicago, I'm coming to be oyla regel. How do I get there? And there's a very important musar in this, and that is that the more we talk about things that are borderline not to be conversed about can be a very dangerous thing. We shouldn't be talking too much about girls, about women, about pictures. It's not such a safe thing to discuss because cholim v'chas, it can be more things than a person that are not so closely related to the Yetzer Tov. And I think vos veina givos besser, I'm not comfortable with the fact that these things are big public discussions because, as you know and I know, people are people, and chalila, one thing could bring us to places that we really don't have to go. But that being said, we have k'nei nohara achoshev etzibur listening, and maybe there are some things that we can suggest and some things that we can offer if they're fresh perspectives or not. One thing I'd like to point out, which I really feel strongly about, is that a picture is really only a caricature of a person. It's not the whole person. It only emphasizes one thing. A person is a package that works in concert with everything. You don't see things in a picture that exist in the person beyond the chitzonius.
Let me interrupt. I'm sorry, Reb Hanna. Do you know the guy who went out, you know, took a machine gun and killed 11 people, and then they asked his neighbors, and they say, he looked like such a nice man. So how much does, you know, appearances, I mean, don't we say Alta Stakel Bakankan? I mean, you know, one of the reasons we don't have a Tzura of Moshe Rabbeinu, you would think we should have saved the Tzura of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu Mehemna, is because if you look at the picture, is that who Moshe Rabbeinu is? Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one with the small nose. I mean, is that how we should be, a dmus of how we should look at it? So I think in Yiddishkeit in general, we looked at a chitzonius, a dmus, with a little bit of scance, with a little, you know, this is not what the person is.
You're 100% right. And the truth is, you know that when you meet a person in person, so much more comes shining through other than the person themselves. That's just the way it is. And even if we'll say that there is something to that physical look, it's so relative. It's incredibly relative. What one person thinks is attractive, another person thinks is not. I'll tell you a hilarious story. Reb Leib Bakst, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Shiva in Detroit, told me that when Baruch Mavovitz was in the mirror, there was a bachur in the mirror that was asuk in shiduchim, and every girl was not good enough for him. He said, nit kinuk shein, she's not pretty enough. One day a baal bayis approached the Baruch Mavovitz. He says, I have a daughter in the parsha of shiduchim, but I have to tell you the truth. She's mamish a mechueris. She's ugly. So Baruch Mavovitz said, I have the perfect shidduch for him. He read the girl to this bachur, and sure enough, they became chasen kala. So at the vart, the tenoyim, whatever they made in the mirror, the chazan comes to Rabbi Yochum and he says, you know, Ichab Alamol Gemeind Azichdaf Ashein Amedel. I always thought that I need a pretty girl. Aba Azei Shein Habich Mishfar Gestelt. So beautiful, I never imagined.
Yeah.
This bacher, that's beautiful. And for someone to say, whether Lom Mizogin, even that the pictures remain by the mothers, which is debatable, I don't know, I've never been involved in this with the pictures. Lom Mizogin, even a mother says, or a sister says, that this girl is not attractive. What does this got to do with what the bacher thinks? Even if, let's say, it meant something, it also doesn't mean anything, because it's so relative. It's incredible. You know, I remember, just from my own experience, you should be mindful of me for being so straightforward. But I was at a shidduch when I was a bacher, and we had met, and a well-meaning person called me up. They didn't know yet that we had met. And they said to me, oh, I heard you were read to Plinus Almanus. You don't want to go out with her. She's really, really unattractive. Now, I gotta had met her. I didn't really think like that at all. Yeah, how do you even put such a thing in a person's head based on your hashara, unless a person has two heads? But anything short of that, it's unfair, and it's irresponsible, and it's dishonest. So besides the fact that the picture doesn't really present the person at all, because all it is a look at their face, but achutz from them, it doesn't even have the same effect or the same appearance from one person more than to the next.
You know, Rav Hutner read a friend of mine, a shidduch, and the guy told him, I heard she's nishta zahodar. So Rav Hutner told him, he says, there was a girl in Varsha. She was known as the biggest chacham in Varsha. He said, and her husband thought she was the most beautiful one too. You know, with like, you know, a smile. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, it says, I heard over once, it says by the Eitz Hadas, Saivahu Leinayim, Ki Toiva Eitz Lamaychel, Saivahu Leinayim. How did she know it was Toiv Lamaychel? How did she know? Maybe it was a poison fruit. She said, because the main that's kitayva huleinayim, it does eichet tayva eitz lamaychel. There was people make that mistake that, like I was telling somebody else, if tayva huleinayim is what defines who's a good shidduch, so then why in Hollywood are they all divorced on their second, third, fourth, and fifth marriages? Because they're undoubtedly the most beautiful people in America, the actors and the actresses. And the answer is that not everything that's tayva leinayim is tayva lamaychel.
Yeah. So I remember before I started shidduchim, I was learning then in Panevez Yeshivas. So I went to Rav Shach, I had the Gadol Hador at my fingertips, and I asked him how to approach the parsha of shidduchim. People were reading things. I'm an American in Eretz Yisrael. Some people consider that a big attraction. They assume every American was rich. And I asked him, which hatzos should I listen to, and which ones should I ignore? And Rav Shach said that unless someone suggests you somebody that's going to stare your Yiras Shemayim, you have to at least look into it. And this is the same Rav Shach, mind you, that after I talked and met a girl in Eretz Yisrael, I went to speak to him. He told me to come back and report on the date. And the first thing he asked me was, Vigefelder de Chitzonis. He wanted to know if she was attractive enough to me. Not a stira. It's not a contradiction at all. But we have to know that the important thing is to at least look into a shidduch. The first thing you have to know is what's the most important. Yes, of course, once you meet, you have to make sure that the person is pleasing, obviously. Because I'll say you can't even marry a girl at Shirena. That's simple. But we've sort of distorted a little bit the ikker with the tuffle, and we've made the tuffle the ikker and the ikker the tuffle, and maybe even worse. You know, there's another Nakudah Reb David, which I think is kedai to bring up. And again, this is something which, from talking to Bachrim that are in the Parsha of Shaduchim, I've come to learn that this is something which we need to be concerned about. There's a well-known Gemara in Sanhedrin. At the end of Perek Ben Soira Rumaira, the Gemara talks about a person who had a desire for a woman. The Hela Libaitina, he pushed it, he couldn't control himself. And he asked the doctors what to do, and they said the only aids is for him to go ahead and have a relationship with her. And the Chachamim said that.
Yeah,
and the Gemara said, okay, so.
To look, Mechayre Apargad, right?
Yeah, the Gemara says, stand in front of him in an improper way, not even that. How about talk him from the back of the fence? Even that, no. And the Gemara says, if she was an Ashes Ish, we understand. It's Yoharik Vayavar, you should die for that. But what if she was unmarried? She was only a Peguya. The Aveir is not nearly the same. And the Gemara says, it doesn't matter. Rav Papa said, because of Pagam Mishpacha, it'll be terribly embarrassing for her family that this Menuvel had to go ahead and talk to their daughter, Meacharia Pargud, from the other side of the fence. And Rav Achabed Ravika says, play Vanessa Shop, Kutsun Barais. It's a terrible pirza. And the Yerushalmi that brings this same story says the story goes a little different. She didn't even have to talk to him. She just had to be there. Just look at her. But from the fact that it was Ma'ira, such a taiva by him, that was already reason to call it what we call Avizrayu to Gili Arayis. It's a subdivision of Gili Arayis. In fact, Rav Moshe talks about this Gemara. And here at Dei Chelak Bey, Simon Kufay and Dalad. You can look up his tshuva. He has a whole arichus on this Gemara. But this Gemara is very, very telling. And the Gemara is telling us how Chazal looked at the degradation of doing such a thing. All I want is just to talk to me.
But respectfully, Rav Hanukh, respectfully, I was talking about an Ashes Ish.
No, the Gemara says if she was a Pnuya. The Gemara said if she was an Ashes Ish, it's Pasha why it was Usher. And according to those that say she was a Pnuya, why was it Usher? To the contrary. The Gemara
says, So what did the Gemara, Achaira Pnuya, you're allowed to look at, the Shulchan Aruch says.
That's correct, even though it's not Usher. But Rav Moshe and others say, because since this thing stemmed from a Taiva, it turned into Avizrayu the Gilei Arayis to the point that you even have to give up your life for that. It's half full of a fellow, what the Gemara is telling us. There's a sensitivity that we have to have. The Chassid Yaivitz, in his Pirush on Pirkei Avos, says on Ms. Gemara, so what's so bad? It's not a Rayas. He's only a Pnuya. What's he doing already? And the Chassid Yaivitz writes on the Mishnah Havi Zonov La'arayas for the Rosh L'Shualim. He says, Shezonov Ari Ari. The tail of a lion is the lion. And what he means is, just being connected to a taiva, to feeding your taiva, that's already awful. To the point that Chazal went so beyond the pale and said that this person has to die instead of talking to this girl. So we really have to wonder, when people are looking at pictures, forget about halacha, I'm not talking halacha here, I'm talking about sensitivity. How do you think Chazal would have looked at something like this when they were so concerned about even delicate nuances and things that come to this parsha? You don't think it's shaloi beruach hatayra that we should treat the B'nai Yisrael this way or chas v'shalom b'mayra taiva this way? We're bordering on the most dvarim chamurim ad ma'oid. And there has to be a sensitivity. And what I'm afraid of is that sensitivity is becoming cheap. B'nai Yisrael, our fodder, B'nai Yisrael, our candidates for marriage with a resume, with a picture. It creates a callous, it creates a lack of sensitivity. And I think this is something we, especially for those that consider themselves the Haibin and members of the Torah community, they have to really think, how much does the Torah really like this kind of a hanhaga?
Very interesting. What else about Shaduchim could you share with us?
Well, once we're talking about things that are important and things that are not important. So certainly when it comes to the area of marrying for money, for lack of a better word, that's certainly something which also has to be revisited. A lot of people feel like they're being victims of extortion when it comes to certain parshiyos. I remember there was one Rebbe of a boy who was read to a neighbor of mine, someone who actually davened in my shul. And he was looking out, of course, for the bacha's best interest. And he wanted to know very, very detailed information about the girl's father's bank account. Now, I am proud to say, I don't even know what's in my own bank account. Actually, I don't know what's in anybody else's bank account. And I said, well, I have no idea. And I said, Baruch Hashem, they live okay. They're not starving. You know, they don't have to get most chitim before Pesach. So he says to me, you mean you don't know how much money he has in the bank? I said, no, I do not know how much money he has in the bank. So he says, well, see, you must not be involved in Shaduchim too much. That was his comment to me. I told him, I guess I had other rabbeim than you did, because my rabbeim didn't say that at all. In fact, before I got engaged, I went to speak to my Rebbe, Rebbe Yisrael, Zechat Tzadik Levracha. The Yahrzeit was just last week. And I mentioned to him just, Derech Agav, I said, you know, we never spoke about the monetary commitments. So Rebbe Yisrael said to me, Geld is managed via Mila. Money is nothing more than a Mila. This shidduch comes with plenty of Milas. We weren't even going to discuss it. It wasn't even a topic of discussion. And I think people, again, they're not clear. Their vision is a little bit cloudy about the ikkers and the tuffles. Yes, you have to have some kind of a mahalach and you have to have a plan how you're going to go into marriage. It's probably irresponsible to go in blind. I understand that. But to start with the negotiations, like you're buying some kind of a building in downtown Chicago, and you have to know who's going to pay for every yomtiv trip and who's going to pay for every diaper and so on and so on. Again, it makes it cheap. We're not bartering here. We're talking about neshamas. We're talking about a zivud that's one part man, one part woman, one part Eibishter. You got to think what the Eibishter would be thinking about some of these conversations. If you're bringing him into the dalanamis of your house, you want to know how the Eibishter would be tzufriden, how he would be happy with every part of the conversation that you're having, and how you're treating this keli to bring the shechina into your house.
Very nice. In the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's actually a machlekes to Amoraim, whether it's Eishes Ish or Pnuya, right?
Correct.
And it's a little more nuanced because it says because of Pagam Mishpacha.
Right.
So Rashi, the way Rashi learns is, you know, for the girl it was embarrassing. She had no interest in this guy. So for her to embarrass herself, to be matzel this guy, she didn't have to do. It's not her responsibility. So my point is if it wasn't that the case, if she it was actually a shidduch that was read, that's not really the exact discussion in the Gemara, you know?
True. I mentioned that before. I'm just trying to be more of a sensitivity.
I understand.
I think we have to. Not everything is black and white. Not everything is what it says in a machaber.
Right.
As the Torah, and anybody who's listening to this program, I would hope prides themselves as being someone who's committed to the Torah. B'nai Torah have to have sensitivity to certain things that it's irrelevant of mutter, usser. Forget about the nuances. There are sensitivities. Again, the Chassid Yaivitz, he says, Zona v'ari ari, says there was no arias over here. But this whole thing smells from something prost.
Yes.
It smells from something prost. That's not where we belong. And I think in these days, distraught, we're looking for the chusin. We want to up our game. Halavai, halavai, the Eibishter should make us all gesund. We shouldn't go from any tzaras anymore. But we're all looking to up our game and to rise in our level of Kedushas Yisrael. Why do we have to just put our blinders on and keep doing everything we're doing the way we're doing it? Because that's what everybody does. Everybody doesn't have to do it. There are plenty of everybody's that I know that don't do it. And Baruch Hashem, they get married. I'll tell you the truth, Rav David. I've been asked by many, many girls who are uncomfortable putting their pictures on resumes, and I told them all not to. Not one of those girls did not get engaged. Now, I'm not talking about thousands of girls either. The polling sample is quite small. But the point is, they went in with a certain attitude. I'm a Bas Yisrael. I'm Kadosh. I'm going into Kedushin. I want to do this with Ratzon Hashem. And I think we cannot leave the Hashem piece out of our pursuit for a bias memon.
Thank you, Reb Henoch. That couldn't have been said in a more eloquent manner. Thank you very much for your time. Joining us from Baltimore is Rabbi Shlomo Goldberger. He's the head of the Shidduch Center of Baltimore. He's a Talmud of Ner Yisrael, a Philly, a Mir Yerushalayim. He learned by Rabbi Rafal Shmulevitz, who was a chavrusa of mine in yeshiva. He's also an MSW, and he coaches hundreds of men and women a year in Shidduchim. He meets with them. He coaches them. Welcome, Rabbi Shlomo.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here.
So I want to start with the topic du jour, and then we'll move on. What's your opinion about boys asking for a girl's picture before they date?
for many reasons, I'm strongly, strongly against it. I'll tell you, I had about a 15-year hiatus from Shidduchim between the time I got married and the time I took this position. And one of the first things that came up when I took this position was it being made known to me, this hanhaga of Bachrim and their families asking for pictures. And I partially didn't understand it. I couldn't believe that it was even true. And I went around speaking with my Rosh Yeshiva, many prominent Rabbanim, to ask them what they thought about it. I met with Rav Shalom, his father, Rav Shmuel, should live in Bezal Bezras Hashem, Rav Shai Neuberger, Rav Michal Torsky, Rav Dasan Hadper, many, many Rabbanim, many Rabbeim. Nobody had a good word to say. At best, it was bemoaned, and at worst, it was decried. Just this morning, I actually spoke with Rav Shalom Kamenetsky to ask him if I could relate the conversation I had with him in his office during this conversation. And he said, yes. I said, so I can say that you feel it's inappropriate. He said, no, that's not enough. He said, you have to say that I strongly disapprove of it and I'm strongly against it. So as far as I can tell, it's ein das hachom nicha himena. There's nobody that's a bar hachi that I've spoken to anyway that feels it's appropriate or it's something that bachim should be involved in any way or that women should be subjected to. And I think, as we know, you can bandy about names, and it may or may not be meaningful, but so people often ask, so, you know, why is it in fact wrong? What is in fact, why? You're saying it's inappropriate. Why is it inappropriate? What's the problem? So if you look at the Rambam, the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, they all bring down the favors. It says, Mutter l'staka b'tunia, a person can look at an unmarried woman to check if she's somebody he wants to marry. And not only so, also Roy Lassos came, that it's befitting to do so. And the Beis Yosef explains, because Talmud Chacham is just offered to marry someone 17, so you shouldn't find her unappealing later on. You have to see the person you're marrying before you marry.
Yeah, so Hilchos Ishes Simon Chafal, if I believe, right? Yeah.
Exactly correct. But they all say, they all give the same disclaimer, right? Of a lo yistakaba derech znus. You can't look at a derech znus, because what does derech znus mean? So in Utrah Peskim, he brings down, it's the only definition I was able to find on that particular line, says, the Heinel Hestatus Yisera Yosin Yisher HaKera, looking at somebody longer than it takes to get a baseline certification that there's some degree of attraction here, Kizu Derech HaNazen, because looking at somebody for longer than that is simply a person's own gratification.
Can I just ask something?
Sure.
I would say that the Yitzhak Poiskim is taking a very conservative and strict line on this, because according to him, dating shouldn't be possible.
Okay, I didn't want to get to, you know, all the ins and outs of what you can look at, what
no,
you
I'm,
can't.
I'm just pointing out that it's a very conservative ruling that is not accepted today, and Derech Snus means in a licentious way, right?
Okay, so let's look at the reality for a moment, right? So about 4 or 5 years ago, I was at a Shidduch event in Lakewood. And I was talking to a shopkeeper, and as we were talking, a buffer came over, and the shopkeeper started talking what he was looking for. And so he read him a shidduch, and he said, can I see what the girl looks like? So he said, sure. So the shopkeeper took out his phone. He showed him the picture for maybe a few seconds, and then he pulled his phone away. And the boy said, oh, cool. Can you send me the picture? He said, you just saw the picture. What more do you need already? So could it be argued? He said, okay, so that could in fact be fine. And in no way was the woman asked to be involved in that. But if you're asking if you put Kazi Mayamadara, what's going on right now? So single men are being told every single day, right, go get your hair done by a professional, go get your makeup done by a professional, go have a professional, you know, photographer take your picture, have a few pictures done, get me a headshot, get me a full length picture. And they're asked to provide all these things. And it does not seem to be, at least in my understanding, even if you want to take a less conservative view, that the lengths that they're going and the things that Bachrim and their mothers and their aunts and whoever it may be is asking to see these pictures falls within the realm of simple histoclasy. You just need to see, is this suitable for me? And what women are being asked to do, the type of pictures they're being asked to provide, it does not seem to me misgaber that you're talking about somebody who's just simply taking a quick glance at a picture to understand baseline attraction. Of course, physical attraction is necessary. It's not a question that physical attraction is necessary in a relationship and a marriage. But what people are being asked for, I think, goes far, far beyond what that would be. And that's just, you know, in the realm of Shmiras Einayim and what boys shouldn't or shouldn't be looking at. And it's not news that people found ways to look at, you know, a woman, get a yearbook picture, you find out she's at a chasman town, you find out she's at a kiddush. All of the means in the past that were used, including what's mentioned in the Gedolei Harah that we quoted, didn't involve the woman as an active participant. But when you say to a woman, okay, I saw the resume, I heard your references, now I need a picture, and I need a lot of pictures, and I need different types of pictures, it's degrading and it's demeaning, right? This is the woman that you're potentially going to marry. This is how you want to start off your relationship with your future wife, by putting her through a humiliating and demoralizing experience. There are creative ways to find out how a woman looks. You can find the picture of the age of technology. It's not terribly difficult to find a picture of somebody. But for somebody's own convenience to have to demean a woman to be such an active participant, I don't see how it's permissible, you know, in terms of what's being provided and being looked at, and in terms of what women are being subjected to. And anybody I speak to that, you know, in the realm of Das Torah is very disappointed, if not strongly against, you know, what we're doing. Well, why are we so cavalier about it? It's very hard for me to understand why there's no COVID rosh here.
I agree with everything you're saying. I would just say that it's hard to halachically find a source that it's asa, except to say it's like sort of the fifth Shulchan Aruch. Like it's sort of, there's a level of preachers here. There's a level of disrespect. There's a level of kalas reish by the boy. There's a level of objectifying a woman and turning into her. And it's also stupid in the respect that, you know, what can you really tell from a picture? Like, what, you know what I mean? It's one tiny flashpoint of a good picture. She was facing the right way, the wrong way. And what about personality and so many other things? I mean, it's very shallow.
I'm very glad that you brought that up. I was hoping we would get to talk about that. So there's a fascinating Shita Mikubetza in the end of the third paragraph of the Dorm. He brings down from the Ra'im a Maisa with a Chacham Echad, that he sent the Mus Parsufa, he sent an image of himself to another Chacham to shop up, you know, who he was in his Midos from the picture. And the Shliach did not return. So he went to find out, you know, why the Shliach did not return. And he said, you know, tell me whatever you have to say, don't worry, I won't be upset. So he said, well, I brought the Mus Parsufa to this other Chacham. And he said to me that whoever is depicted in this Dumus is Mole Midos Ron. Terrible person. I was embarrassed to come back. So he said, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. He said, it's emes, it's true what he said. I have a yesahara, but my chasma, the fact that I endeavored to be a better person, I was able to overcome all those things. So,
Yachin Abaya is a very controversial Yachin Abaya.
I specifically didn't bring that down.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what, but I don't see anybody that argues on the messias of the message. That you can't shot up a person from a picture. And I've spoken with, forget a picture, I've spoken with many, many people. You know, men, women, they say, you know, I went out on date one, the first date, a second date, I wasn't attracted to the person. I didn't find them physically attractive. But the date went well, it seemed like we were on the same path, so we continued dating, and soon enough, you know, I found myself, that was no longer a problem. The physical attraction is 100% tied into the emotional connection. The two go hand in hand. So a person says, this picture doesn't appeal to me. Forget, you know, what's doing to that person. They themselves are passing up an opportunity that it may be the person for them. People are photogenic, people are not photogenic. And also, mitzad hasheni, since we're going so far with these pictures and how professional they have to be, I've heard of Bachar and they go on a date and they say, that's not the person that I saw a picture of. Right? They're disappointed. So side V on a practical level, it doesn't seem to be doing anybody any real favors, as far as I can tell.
What do you hold of a boy who went out with a girl and he likes her, but he's not attracted to her? I've had this case, and Rosh Hashiva said attraction will be after marriage. What do you think of that?
I heard a Maisa. I read it recently. I'm not sure. I don't want to say who it was with. I read it in a book recently. There was a man in a car driving one of the Gedolei Rosh Hashiva of the previous generation, and his son was in the car. And the son wanted the air conditioner on. And the father refused to turn it on. And the boy kept pestering his father, and his father said, you know, you think in the Alter Haim we had air conditioning in our cars. You know, we didn't have air conditioning in our cars. You know, and eventually the Rosh Hashiva chimed in. He said, in the Alter Haim, people were very uncomfortable. So I know it's not exactly shavah b'shavah, but were there times where perhaps, you know, a husband and wife relationship was a little bit more pragmatic and it was a matter of getting things done? You know, I don't know. I didn't live in Europe. I didn't live in America 50 years ago. But if you look and you see what's going on right now, it's very difficult for me to understand. A person should be told, you need to marry this person. You're not attracted to them. Don't worry. It'll be fine later, you know. You'll be too busy milking your cow to notice anyway.
So you agree it's terrible advice, isn't it?
To me, it's, you know, I don't want to, I don't know who I'm indicting here. But bizmanenu, to me, that does not sound like prudent advice. And it sounds like the type of thing that could chalila lead to a very miserable marriage.
Let me ask you another question, since I have an expert. I get these emails, unfortunately. What happens a boy or a girl isn't attracted to the other gender? Do they have a right to get married or not?
That question punches above my weight. The Shaila Chamura. I don't know how to answer that. So it has to be a real bar hachi. Obviously, for the person to go down the road of whatever their teva has led them to is not an option. It exists. It happens to people by nature. It happens to people for various reasons, experiences, abuse, what have you. And it's a tremendous burden. It's a terrible chaval. But on the other hand, to say to that person, well, you know, ahead, this is the way things work. We're from Yidden. This is halacha. You're a man. You got to marry a woman. You're a woman. You got to marry a man. Deal with it. I don't know. I personally don't know, and I think you have to have tremendous places and siyata d'shmaya to be married to somebody in that situation.
Let me ask you a question. You don't know.
I don't know.
If your daughter went out with a guy and you subsequently found out post-marriage that the boy wasn't attracted to the opposite gender, would you think the boy did an avla?
You're personalizing the question. I'd rather not have to think of such a situation, amongst many other things I prefer not to have to think about. I don't know.
Why isn't it? Can you understand that the girl would be very upset?
Of course.
So why isn't it sort of like Samay Dal Dam Reyecha? Or Madalach Sani Lechavrach Leisavet? I mean, just start with Madalach Sani Lechavrach Leisavet. I mean, this girl's going to be in for a pretty, or the boy is going to be in for a pretty miserable life, right?
Everybody, them, their parents,
so
their family, their progeny.
So I'm asking you, so you say it's punching above your weight, and I just would think it's Aleph Beis. What am I missing?
Let's put it this way. Anything that's major has to be disclosed, right? There's not a question about that. So if a person has, I was speaking to a young woman the other day, and she told me she met with a Shadkin, and the Shadkin says, I met with a very, she was probably in the upper 20s, and the son says, yeah, I just met a very fine young boy. He's really a wonderful guy. Okay, it happens to be he suffers from bipolar, and he almost tried to kill his mother because he thought she was Mashiach, but he's doing very well right now, you know, and I think really he's an okay guy. Do you want to look into it? Yeah, maybe it's a shidduch, maybe it's not. I don't think the Shadchan was wrong for suggesting it. I don't know the boy's mental health status, but the point is she disclosed everything. And this young woman was given an option to think it over, whether or not this is something that's considered. So if you have a situation like that and everything is disclosed, you know, if the question is, did the boy do an avla? Well, if he told everybody what's going on, that's certainly a different situation. If he didn't tell anybody what's going on, then it would be no different than any major disclosure. That's a tremendous avla to have something like that hanging over yourself that you don't disclose to your spouse. But the question of whether or not such a person can or should get married, I'm not in any position to adjudicate on that. Are you asking me, does it sound wrong? Okay, maybe I could say it sounds wrong, but I can no way definitively adjudicate on a question, you know, that would need to go to the Gedolei Harah of our generation.
Let's say you knew of such a boy or girl, and you were called about shidduch information. What would you say?
Well, what would I say? I would say, I need to get back to you, which is, I think, a very common thing if you make sure to say it the right way. And I would ask a Shaila Chamura, somebody who I help with.
You know what? I'm not asking. It's like Hashlech. Hashlech Yehavcha Lashem. Like, you know, just kicking the can down the road.
No, but let's say there was
no Gadol available for you to call. What would you say?
Let me ask you a question. Let's say somebody called you and they had a Shaila Chamura about life support. And you didn't know exactly what to do, and you didn't have a competent rav who was also a bar seichel to ask. Are you going to paskin dinin nefashos because you can't find someone else at the moment to paskin it? This is dinin nefashos. I can't. It's, you know, we're listening. You know, we're talking on a podcast that's going to be listened to b'ezras Hashem by many thousands of people on many continents, as you mentioned. I can't shoulder the ashrayas of saying what I could or couldn't say. My answer would have to be the honest answer. I need to ask a Shaila. You know, Baruch Hashem, there are many great men that I have the capacity to reach out to and speak to and to get proper hadracha.
In other words, can I ask you a question, Rav Shlaima, well, you know, you're the head of the Shidduch Center. Let me ask you a question. Let's say, for argument's sake, the Rav said, don't say anything. Say he's a wonderful boy, he's a nice boy, and that's all. Would you be comfortable with that psak?
Absolutely not. I don't imagine that anybody that I consult with on that level would issue such a psak. There's no question to me that the psak that would be issued would be absolutely have to be disclosed. The question, the overarching question of whether somebody who's been saddled with such a burden can in fact ever get married, that's the question that I can't answer. If you're asking me, is it an avla gedola for somebody to go out with somebody knowing that information and to not disclose it? It's an avla gedola adna. There's no question about that.
I want to share with you a story. I believe I heard it from Dr. Pelkowitz, and if I didn't, I ask him forgiveness. He said that, I'm not sure, but it could be from him. He said that there was a girl and a boy that got married, and the boy had a very bad anger issues. And the father of the girl called up the Rosh Yeshiva, and he said, well, and he only said very nice things, and they got married, and the boy beat the stuffing out of the girl a few times, and they got divorced.
Sadly, not a new story.
Yeah, and they got divorced, and the girl was single for many years. I don't know if she ever remarried. So this Rosh Yeshiva was Nista. I think he said it was a Mashgiach, not a Rosh Yeshiva. And he said, I came to the Levaya, and I was surprised to see the father over there. And I said, you know, what a godless. Like, he was Meichel. And he was surprised. Like, what right do you have to be Meichel for the girl? And he said, then the father went to the Kfura. And his daughter was, I don't know, maybe already 30, 40 or whatever, not getting married after many years. And he said, and the father stood there when they lowered the urn into the grave. And he said, I'm not Meichel you. I'm not Meichel you. I'm not Meichel you. And when you come to Shemayim, you should give a din v'cheshbon that you destroyed my daughter's life.
Powerful story.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, you know, the Tzitzel Yezer talks about Shilas. A doctor approached him and he said, could I be Megala that the girl who's a patient of mine doesn't have a Rechem? And the Tzitzel Yezer said to him, if you don't do it, you're Iver Eloi Samed Al Dam Riecha. There's no bigger Dam Riecha than something like that. Now, to me, the question is, and here's where I stumble a little bit. Like, do I have to be Megala? Or do I say, I can't answer about this boy in a way that it's obvious that there's something wrong, or this girl. In other words, do I have to say what it is? I mean, because these are incredibly personal things, and once it's out there, like, it's very humiliating. Well, can you say something that anybody with any seichel, like, what do you mean? You're his rav, you're his rebbe, you're his next door neighbor, and you say, I don't know the boy at all. I can't answer anything. I mean, to, you know, which way do you go? What do you say? You know, Adam Raya Chaveri Teveya Bahar, the end of Chayshimishpet, what is it, Tav Chav Dalet or Tav Chav Hey, and Teveya Benar is a listimbo and a love is a chiyav, to be batzel. Or do you say, look, I can't do that. I'm just going to make it obvious that there's something really wrong here. What would you say to you? What's your hakasha on that?
There, in the realm of Shidduchim, there are many different, you might say, dargas of disclosure. And I myself personally have had some very, very uncomfortable conversations with parents of single men and single women. to disclose to them something about
give us an example. Give us an example of a very uncomfortable conversation.
It's hard to do that without a lot of people listen to this. But so you spoke about abuse. So there have been times where it's been made known from very reliable sources that it was very credible that something like that was going on. And it was not made known to the family. And, I asked the Shiloh from, I spoke to David Cohn, I spoke to Tronson Neuberger, I spoke to a lot of people. And when it came down to it, I was the one who had to make the phone call. It wasn't enjoyable, but it was 100% necessary. You know, there are other things that, are not quite of that nature. And there are times where I wouldn't say that you're machasa, but there are times where it's not so much that, it would inherently be a non-starter. And the ace that's often given is, let's take medication. That's a very common one, right? So very often the ace is, you wait till the middle stage. If you tell the person off the bat, I take medication because I suffer from depression. So you're throwing yourself under the bus. No one's going to date you, right? They haven't even started. Why bother? If you wait till the date before engagement, you haven't given the person a fair chance, right? They're already emotionally invested to you. They're ready to marry you. And you say, I'm on medication. So now they're not in the position to make a seichelik and fair adjudication because they're too far down the road. So you wait till you have some degree of emotional connection. There's some sort of core there. And then you make a disclosure and the person can say, all right, I see this person. I see the miles they bring to the table. I understand that they have this challenge, and now I can make a proper hashara of do I want to continue anyway or do I want to not? Right? So,
Rav Shlaima,
then there are the things that you have to say at the outset, but it's not so simple to say definitively, this you always have to say now, this you always have to say then. But, you're talking about pretty serious stuff, and kimdumani, that those are things that you would have to disclose from the outset. And there's hundreds and hundreds of yeshivas, which means there's hundreds and thousands of rabbeim and mashgichim, and I'm not here to demean anybody. But the title of Rosh Yeshiva, the title of Rebbe, the title of Mashgiach does not necessarily give somebody the leeway to make those calls based on, their personal beliefs. And
somebody,
that's why you have stories like that. Where people
somebody,
because they're giving Esau, but they shouldn't be giving Esau.
Somebody told me.
No, what? Linde b'shemcha lerna any day.
Somebody told me he went into Reb Beryl and he asked him whether he should take the COVID vaccine. Because
so we started with Pekul,
hello,
and now we're by COVID.
Well, I just want to tell you the answer, which I thought was very clever. So he said, and Reb Chaim Kanievsky or some other gadol said you should take it. And he answered, he said, Hazah shay lefrek ben adokta, mefrek nishta gadol. In other words, which I thought was very clever. Like, just because somebody's a base medrash rebbe, it doesn't make him an expert on relationships or on marriage counseling or on dating, right? I think that there's, and I think that the clever Rosh Yeshiva or Mashgiach will say that. He said, look, I'm older than you, and I could try to talk about it with you, but if it's a serious shiloh, you should talk to somebody who's gone through, 6 years to get their master's and another 4 years or to become a psychologist. I think it's another 6 years to become a psychologist. So after 12 years in it and training, maybe they'll give you good advice. But like that I could tell, because I have messages from boys, they say, or girls, I wasn't attracted to the other one. My Rebbe Yeshiva said you'll become attracted afterwards. Rivka ba'oyel, aharon, ahin. And they destroyed the person's life. So
you mentioned Reb Beryl. I'll tell you a good mice I heard from Reb Beryl. So he said that a mice with Reb Chaim Shmuel Evers, that he was at a bus stop once, and he heard some buffer, handling Reb Chaim, back and forth, Reb Chaim this, Reb Chaim that. And so Reb Chaim Shmuel Evers said to someone later on, he said, I'm not going to say the Yiddish because I'm not proficient enough. He said, I knew they weren't talking about me, but fuck, it felt good.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that story.
When somebody asks somebody a shaila, and I'll say this about myself, equally, it feels good for someone to say to you, I have a problem, I'm coming to you hierarchically above me to help me with my problems. It feels good, right? Self-gift. But a person needs to know when they're punching above their weight and whether it's a matter of not being your day is safe enough, whether it's a matter, like you said, of just needs to go to a doctor, a psychologist. Right? The fact that a person's in a position of leadership or power does not mean that they're necessarily an opinion to adjudicate on different types of shilohs and murus. And it's critical to know when you can and cannot answer, which is why I say to you, in the matter of somebody who lacks attraction to the opposite gender, I would be just as guilty as those in the previous stories if I said, if I tried to say what the appropriate mahalakha is.
So let me tell you my humble opinion, and it's, I'll say that nobody should listen to me, but I'll air it because we're talking and learning, right? I would say that there's three dargis. I think that if somebody comes and she says that the girl doesn't have a rechem, the boy has real anger issues and he may break her jaw. To me, it's Baruch Hashemish B'tzarayim, that this is something that you have to be Megala. And then there are many other things. It's like people could be on medicine. They could have lupus. They could have asthma. They could have like diseases that people have a very happy and healthy life. They manage to keep it under control.
Yeah. Or you can be unpleasant, but not abusive. Yeah.
So that's the type of thing that you're right. The third date, the fourth date. I don't know how many dates. When I was going out, it was 7 dates. Today it could be.
Number.
It could be 20. Today they could go out 20 dates. I probably don't know the young generation. But there's a point where it's in the middle. We say you're not serious enough with the person, the other person's going to get deeply hurt. On the other hand, it's not so frivolous where you're just passing around, that over there, and you should ask the Rav exactly where, but over there, there's a chiyuv to be Megala, even though the stipler, amazingly, in Yevamis is not like that. And there's things that you don't have to be Megala at all. Like, if the person is perfect, that itself is the biggest chasaron in the shidduch. If you're perfect, you want to marry somebody, you're going to for sure be miserable because nobody else is perfect. That's the biggest chassaron you could say. So there are things that this is human and you have to expect that I'm human. Yes, there are times that I get into bad moods. There are times I'm going to overeat. There are times I'm going to undereat. There are times I'm not going to talk to you because I need to run into my own room and I don't want to be detached. There are times I will get along with your parents. There are times I may not get along with your parents. These are all things that, these are human things, right? But that's the three that I would. So the middle one really needs, you have to ask, but if somebody comes to you on something that's glaringly obvious and it's like Samid al Damriecha, you don't jump into the, say, it doesn't say call a Rav before you jump into the water, or call a Rav before somebody lists him on a love. You know, that's
that's generally not what's going on, right? There's usually.
It's rare. It's rare to have the extreme.
Great,
yeah, I agree.
It's serious, right?
Well said. Rav Shlomo, thank you very much for your time.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Pleasure. Joining us from Brooklyn is Mrs. Bella Beer. She's a writer for the Yated. She's also coaches people in the matter of Shidduchim. She's also a Shadchan. Welcome, Mrs. Beer.
Welcome. Thank you.
So what's your opinion? Pictures in Shidduchim?
Pictures in Shidduchim? Well, it's not a yes or no question. There's a lot of variables. But the short answer is that if you don't give a picture, they'll get one somewhere else. The other short answer is, I don't think a picture shows anything, so I find them useless. The other answer is, and I'm playing both sides here, is that when I was dating, some others went and looked at yearbook pictures to get an idea of how the girl looked, or they actually went to look at the girl somewhere at a wedding or in a store or something like that. On the other hand, I realize it's different today because pictures are getting distributed all over. When you send a picture, they go on groups, etc. There's an inion of that. But if I had a child in Shidduchim today, I don't know that I would have a choice. I would have to probably just find a picture that I like the best and send it.
Okay. Do you think it should be discouraged? Do you think the Rabbeim should talk about it? Do you think seminary should talk about it, etc.?
Again, because I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. Okay, my biggest problem with the pictures is not that they get distributed. Shidduchim is all about networking. The more your resume or picture is distributed to people, the more chance that someone's going to read you a shidduch. So that part of it doesn't bother me. What bothers me the most is that I've seen beautiful girls not look good in pictures, and I've seen, you know, mediocre-looking girls looking excellent in pictures. You don't see an expression on the face. You don't see a height. You don't see a weight. There's very little that you see from a picture. And boys are wrongly making that judgment about whether they want to go out with a girl just from the picture. So that's a problem. However, when you weigh all the sides together, I just think that, like certain other technologies, like when resumes started, people didn't know what to have resumes. Now you don't do a shidduch without a resume. So I think, like a lot of other technology, it just is. And so since it is, when people sit and tell me, well, you know, the shita, they're not sending a picture, unless they're looking for a very serious learning boy, there's a likelihood that the boy will just move on to the next one where he does see a picture.
So you're basically saying it's a reality and accept it.
Exactly. You said it quicker than me.
Okay, now, Have you had stories like where people didn't want to go out with pictures or did want to go out with pictures and were disappointed or not disappointed, et cetera?
Yes. Okay, yes. So mostly I would say it's in the more modern boys that will not, they don't even care about the resume. They only want to look at the picture. So that bothers me a lot. And honestly, I'll be reluctant to read more Shidduchim to a boy after he does that to me. But other than that, when I read Shidduchim, usually the picture is just part of the information, like who their mother is or what they do for a living or what schools they went to. And the, you know, the picture is just a component of it.
I think it's a lack of tzmius in giving out pictures.
No.
Why not?
But that, you know, that goes to the whole, you know, pictures in newspapers kind of thing. I'm not a liberal in any way. You know, I think I'm very from and my family is very from, but I just think that that whole idea, and I know this is very controversial, the whole idea of not showing pictures of women is relatively new, was never around, and I'm not sure what the basis of it is. And I don't think that the pictures that are going around for Shidduchim are not tzniistic pictures. And I really don't think, maybe I'm naive, that boys in yeshiva are sitting around sharing pictures and laughing at them or commenting at them. I really think they're being used for a good reason.
Okay.
And if anyone had a brain, they wouldn't actually send the boy the picture.
What do you mean?
I mean, you know, you send it to the could show it or not show it. I don't know that it was a good idea to send it to a boy who's going to spread it to his friends.
Now, do you think it objectifies women?
No.
Why not?
There are pictures of boys also. I have a lot of girls that ask for a picture of the boy. In fact, more and more. So does that objectify men?
I think so.
Okay, so then men and women are being objectified. So then they're both objects, which I tell you. I don't think so. I really think that, I mean, I could tell you a personal story that a certain one of my children was read to a girl who I loved the resume, but I did not love the picture. And I didn't show him the picture. And he went out with her, and they're married, and they have a child. And when I met her, she was a million times prettier than the picture that was sent. So I made that choice not to show the picture, being that I liked the whole idea of it, and I figured he'll see her when he goes to pick her up, and he'll decide himself if he thinks she's pretty. So I really think that a picture is just part of a whole picture, so to speak, part of a whole package. Someone might not like someone's height, someone's weight, someone's color of their hair, someone's school they went to, someone's family background, and they might not like their picture. It's just one of many different things that make up a package in the normal world, not in.
Now, do you find that, there's many different aspects to Shidduchim. There's yichus,
right.
There's accomplishments, there's family, there's money, and there's looks. Do you find that pictures drive the most? Like, what would you say?
So again, it would have to go back to what type of boy we're talking about. And sometimes it's not even about the prettiness of the girl or boy that is being judged, but more like the whole gestalt, like kind of, you know, the tznius, the fine kite. There's a lot of things that people are looking into a picture that they're not necessarily going to find, but that's what they're looking at, what type of girl it is. There's a lot of different things you could see from a picture. So, you know, I don't think so. But just also, my crazy idea is that instead of pictures, we should be sending video clips, because I think that would just show much more what the girl or boy is. However, of course, that's never going to happen, so I'll pretend I never said that.
And what about this concept that they use like trading cards, and it's just so disrespectful?
I haven't seen that. I mean, if you're telling me it's happening, I'll have to take your word for it, but I haven't seen that.
I'm just sharing with you what I heard from somebody else. I have no idea.
Right. So, again, I haven't seen it or heard of it.
So if I were to ask you, you know, family, yichus, accomplishments, money, looks, how does, as a shadchan, what do you find is most important?
It really depends on to who. Sorry that I can't give that answer.
Okay.
Everyone has different priorities.
And do you find one has more priority than the other, or they're equally balanced? Like, what would you say?
You know, 10 years ago, people would have said money talks. Now, you know, people might say looks talk. And, you know, I think that yichus seems to have taken a little bit of a drop. I don't know that people are that into yichus more because a lot of kids are not like their families. In today's world, you have a lot of kids either firmer than their families or more modern than their families. So we're not just looking at the family and saying, oh, I'm going to take so-and-so's daughter, because so-and-so's daughter is now an individual person that has to be looked at. So that's the only thing I could say maybe is a little bit less important than it was in the past. But the rest is, you know, really someone values looks, someone else values midos, someone else values money. Could be a lot of things.
Okay. Do you feel that the shidduch system is broken?
I'm not going to say broken. No. I'm going to say that I think the biggest problem with shidduchim is that not enough people read shidduchim, and I don't think there's an excuse not to read shidduchim, especially if you're a young couple that recently got married. You have friends, he has friends, she has friends, and I don't think there's an incentive enough to try to marry off those friends. I think a lot more shidduchim can happen. But I don't think the system in itself is a flawed system.
Okay. If there were any changes you could make, what would they be?
In the shidduch system?
Yes.
So that was number one, is what I just said, is about, you know, having more people read shidduchim. And then, like, me personally, when I get really ridiculous questions from either side or ridiculous reasons for saying no from either side, I'm not inclined to continue reading that person's shidduchim. So I feel like it shouldn't be okay.
Define ridiculous question. Just, what does that mean?
I can't say all of them on the air. I've heard some, like, really... Okay, I'll say less ridiculous ones, but, like, I've had, like, I don't like his teeth, he's balding, comments about the girl's eye color, really ridiculous things that have nothing to do with a match or being able to get along together. And having a good marriage. So those kind of things turn me off personally. And I'd like to see more shadchanim not only run after the rich shidduchim, no matter how they treat you. I'd like to see people that are normal and approach shidduchim in a normal way, in a level-headed way, you know, gain more.
Do you think it's unfair, and this I've heard this from a girl, she said the shadchanim, it's to them it's a business. So they're going to try to read rich boys and rich girls where they know they're going to be paid. And, you know, the wonderful, nice boy and the wonderful, nice, lovely girl who come from simple, plain families are really suffering this system. Do you think that's true or not?
As a rule, no. I know there are shadchanim that do that, but there are enough shadchanim. You know what? When you asked me for my bio, I told you I'm an amateur shadchan. What does that mean? That means that I only read shidduchim for people I know, and I could know you because I know you, or I can know you because you came and met me. But I'm not, like, you know, just pulling two people together because I want to make a shidduch for someone. And everyone I know in my category with the shidduch chats and the shidduch meetings, etc., are doing it the same reason I'm doing, because it hurts us to see people not married. And when it hurts us to see people not married, we try to get them married. I don't know that it has anything to do with their pocketbook. That's not to say that there are some very good, professional, famous shadchanim that really, you can't really blame them. They don't want to work like a dog and you know, come home with $500. That's not what they're in it for. They're professional. Professional means they're doing it for money. So if they're doing it for money, you know, you'd rather sell a Rolls Royce than, you know, Toyota Camry. So
what percentage of shadchanim are that way?
Very few. I would say the top few professionals. And people know they're like that. So if you know they're like that, then why are you frustrating yourself and going to them? There's enough people to go to that are not doing that.
So in closing, you feel that the shidduch system functions pretty well, and things like asking for pictures are not a problem with SNEAS. It's just the reality of where we live. And the girls are dressed in an appropriate manner. It's not objectifying them, you say, because boys and girls both are passing pictures around. They're both getting pictures. And that's about it, right?
Yeah, whatever else.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure having you.
You're very welcome.
Take care. Bye-bye. We're speaking to Mrs. Tova Weinstein from Passaic. She's a math teacher. Her husband learns in Kollel. She wrote a letter to Mishpacha magazine about girls' pictures in magazines, and she actually made an email address called noshidduchpics@gmail.com, and I understand she's gotten a very good response. Welcome, Mrs. Weinstein.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us, like, what you wrote. Give us the gravamen of your letter and the response.
So in the letter, I quoted several rabbonim who have spoken out against the practice of asking for a girl's picture for the purpose of agreeing to go out on a date. I discussed some of the pitfalls. I asked people to email me saying that they affirm that this is an incorrect practice. I've received several hundred emails so far from shadchanim, mothers of girls, mothers of boys, and boys themselves, who all have given their own stories and their own opinions saying that they strongly disagree with this practice.
So tell us why you're opposed to it.
So first of all, I think it's important to understand that this is not my position alone. I've consulted with Rabbanim and people like Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Rav David Feinstein, Rav Elia Brudny, Rav Yosef Ellison, Rav Aaron Lapiansky, Rav Moshe Tzvi Leif, Rav Moshe Heinemann, Rav Shmuel First, have all been on record, either to me or in public, that they think this is an incorrect practice. So I'm always guided by Das Torah.
Okay, so why is it incorrect?
Okay, so there's several issues. Number one is there's clearly a very big tzinius danger with putting out pictures of heavily made-up girls for the purpose of shidduchim. The reality is that no matter what assurances people are given, the pictures get out. They go around, bachurim are passing them around, and there's clear tzinius issues with pictures just being passed around to young men. There was a story told to me of a boy who a shadchan approached him about a girl. I said the story in my letter. And he said, "Well, do you know anything about this girl?" He takes out his phone and he says, "Oh, this one?" And he points to a picture of her. She had never been read to him. His friend shared the picture. Another boy described to me a car full of bachrim passing around pictures, in his words, like baseball cards. So the pictures go around, and there's just no excusing that on a level of tzinius. From the perspective of the girl, you're forcing her, because of the reality of the situation that has been created, to do something she's highly uncomfortable with. I'm sure there are some girls who are okay with it, but there's a sizable group of girls who feel they've been inculcated from the time they're young throughout school about the importance of tznias, the halachas of tznias, the going, you know, with the spirit of the law and not just with the actual elbows and knees. And they've fought throughout their years as teenagers and young women to go against the tide and dress bitznius and to act in a refined way, not to put themselves out there unnecessarily. And then they come to shidduchim, and the world that they trust just turns on them, flips the whole thing, and says, "Put a picture out there for everyone." And when
can I interrupt, because you're saying
sure.
A lot of things, but you know, I think a lot of us would agree that for girls' pictures to be handed out like baseball cards doesn't sound right. It's like objectifying. It's turning somebody into just a picture. But on the other hand, it's not the girl's lack of tznius. It's the boy's lack of tznius. I mean, somebody could take a picture of a girl on the street and pass them around, and the boys who do this aren't yeshiva boys. Something's really missing in the chinuch. So, you know.
So the boys, I just want to clarify, these are boys learning in top yeshivas.
Well, you could learn it at Hap Yeshiva and just not have any chinuch and not be your
shemayim.
So my point is, is it something the girl should be upset about, or is it something the boy's parents and the boy's rabbeim and the boy, if he has any conscience, he should feel about? He's your shemayim. So, like, how much do we have to restrict the way we live? Like, let's say the girl thinks it's a good thing to send her picture. How much should she restrict herself because of boys' misbehavior?
So there's two issues here. There's number one, from the perspective of the boy, it's just highly incorrect. But from the perspective of the girl, I'm sure there are girls who are okay with their picture being out there. That's not really the point. The point here is that there are thousands of girls who are being forced to do something that they're uncomfortable with, that they feel is incorrect, that they feel is not the Ruach HaTorah, and they're being forced to do something with their own image that they're uncomfortable with. No person would accept that behavior.
When you say forced, like, where is the force?
Okay, the force is subtle, but it is a force in the sense that girls, and I can tell you this from the emails I've gotten, girls are being told by shadchanim, and I'm not blaming the shadchanim, I'm just saying the reality. There are shadchanim and boys and mothers who will tell girls all the time, "If you don't give me a picture, I cannot help you. No boy will look at your resume, I can't get you a date." So they are being forced.
That's interesting. You're saying it's just basically, that's the reality. Shadchanim will not read a shadach without a picture.
Correct, the vast majority. There are some who won't, and I commend them, and I think more should step up and advertise that, but reality right now is that girls are being told left and right, "If you don't give me a picture, I will not be able to help you." So they are being forced.
And when did that change? Like, I haven't dated in a long time, but it certainly didn't happen when I was dating. Like, when did this come about?
I'd say within the past 5 to 10 years. I was dating 10 years ago, and I think I was only asked for a picture once. I know that I've spoken to shadchanim in the recent months, and it sounds like within the past 5 years, it's gotten towards the extreme it's up to now.
So you mentioned a bunch of very chashuv rabbanim. He said, Rav Elyahu Brudny. I forgot who else it was.
Rav Yosef Elephant. I spoke to him directly.
So why aren't they speaking to the boys?
Some of them are. I know Rav Yosef Elephant has spoken about it publicly in the mirror. I also can't answer for the rabbanim. I don't know. But I do know Rav Yosef Elephant recently spoke about it publicly in the mirror.
Because to me, it's much more of a boy's problem than a girl. It's like telling a girl, don't dress in a becoming way because boys are going to stare at you. Well, the boy shouldn't be staring. The girl has a right to dress in a fashionable way.
Well, 100% that the issue is on the side of the fact that the boys are requesting the picture. I'm not faulting girls in any way. I want to create an environment where girls can say, no, I'm not sending a picture because I'm uncomfortable with this, and they're not going to be pressured into it. But right now they are.
Okay. So, I mean, it does sound to me like it's something that should fall squarely into the mechanchim's hands, right?
Yeah, that sounds pretty about right. I mean, the shadchanim and the boys' mothers and the boys themselves are the ones who can take a stand against it. But yes, it's a chinuch issue.
So let me ask you, let's assume for a minute that the picture was not being passed around, right? It was the boy wanted a picture before he goes out, and it was on Snapchat. The picture disappeared after 3 minutes. Would you be opposed to it then, too?
So, number one, I find it hard to believe that such a reality would exist. But let's say it would. There's other deeper issues as well here. One of the main arguments for the purpose, on the side of pictures, is that it saves the boys time, they don't have to go out on unnecessary dates, it saves money, and agmas nefesh, and they'll even try to say it's better for the girls. The problem is there's a huge misconception here about physical attraction. 100% attraction is important. But physical attraction cannot be assessed through a two-dimensional picture. Attraction is the sum total of a human being with their personality, with their chayin, with certain things that can only be experienced in person. And a boy looking at a picture and saying, I know that I will or won't be attracted to this girl, is just false. There are countless stories of boys who, you know, and girls also, by the way, it's not only boys. I know a story of a girl who saw a picture before going out, said, I'm really not interested in his physical appearance. The shadchan convinced her to go out anyway, and they're happily married. And the same thing with meeting a girl in person. After one date, not being so impressed, and then as time goes on, the attraction develops. I know a story of a boy who was adamant he didn't want to marry a redhead. Somebody somehow convinced him to go out with a redhead, and on the first date, he says, I don't know, it's really bothering me. By the second date, he's like, it's not so red. And after however many dates, he didn't even remember she was a redhead. So physical attraction cannot be assessed by a two-dimensional picture. So it's not accomplishing the goal that these boys are saying it's going to accomplish. So yes, I would have an issue if it's not being passed around also, because it's just perpetuating an incorrect understanding of the way shidduchim and relationships work.
Okay. I would also say, I mean, in a similar bit, I think it's objectifying girls.
100%.
And it's just creating, looking at them like a slab of beef.
Correct. It's so demeaning. It's so demeaning.
Now, if a girl wanted a picture of a boy, would you say the same thing?
Yes. There's no reason she should look at a picture either. She should be assessing her attraction to the person as a human being, not as an image.
Okay. What other sentiments did you get from all the emails you got? You've had a few. You've expressed yourself eloquently on a few of them. Did any of the girls mention any other issues?
The main issues addressed are the lack of tznius and feeling disillusioned with a world flipping on them and treating them like a piece of garbage. I've had boys telling me that they think it's terrible to treat a Bas Yisrael like this, and they have many friends who agree with them. These are the main issues.
Okay, and do the boys recognize it's coming from the outside world? It's not a Yiddish culture. It's coming from, you know, it's coming from Instagram, and it's coming from all the magazines that are out there, etc.?
I don't know. I can tell you that the ones who think it's a terrible thing probably do, but I can't speak for the ones who are for it because I haven't spoken to them.
Okay. And what do you think the solution is?
I think the solution is to create a large, vocal group of people who, from the whole spectrum, girls, boys, shadchanim, rabbanim, who are speaking out publicly against it and creating this infrastructure through which a girl or a boy can go through shidduchim without needing to send a picture. You know, what would be my dream? I would love for the rabbanim to publicly come out against it. It's up to the rabbanim if that's something that they want to do. Many of them have spoken on record against it. But I think creating, you know, there are people already who agree, and my goal is to give them that voice and also to create awareness among the people who may not have thought so deeply about it. They just think it's accepted, so it must be fine. But the reality is, it's everything but fine.
So, question, why don't the seminaries be mechanic the girls, and they've done a fantastic job of being mechanic girls, saying, you know, as a group, if you don't give pictures, then it will become the new norm. So can't the seminaries do that as well?
That's a great question. And in an ideal world, that would be a very easy solution. The problem is that because of the quote-unquote shidduch crisis, girls are functioning out of fear. So, and anybody being madras a girl is functioning out of fear. A little bit. So to put it squarely on the girls that they should be the ones to stand up alone is a little bit unfair.
I wouldn't suggest put it on the girls alone. I would suggest
right.
It should be a multifaceted. The Rosh Yeshivas and the Rabbeim should be talking about it at the same time as the seminary, so you have it sort of like a pincer movement coming from both sides.
100%. That would be amazing.
Now, question for you. What inspired you to write that letter? Like, you know, you're married already for 10 years. Can I inherit to a cult? Like, what inspired you?
It's a great question. I saw the 2019 Agoda convention, where at two different sessions, Rav Elia Brudny, Rav Aaron Lapiansky, Rav Moshe Tzvia Leif, Rav Tzion Kokis, all spoke about shidduch pictures. It came up at these two sessions. And it's just a hargasha, a personal hargasha, that I just can't stand by and watch Benos Yisrael being treated this way. I know that if I was in Shidduchim right now, I would feel so disillusioned and disgusted by the way I was being treated. So I heard the Rabbanim agree, and I wanted to try to do my part to see if I could create some sort of an effect to help the Benos Yisrael.
And how many emails did you get?
Over 300 so far.
Wow. Did any boys email you?
Yes.
And what did they say?
The boys who've emailed me have said things like, I think it's disgusting to treat a Bas Yisrael like this.
Did anybody email to defend the practice?
One boy in particular, and his letter was printed in Mishpacha magazine as well, with a lot of very eloquent responses, pretty much taking his response apart.
What was his response?
What did he say to me?
Yeah, what was the content of his letter?
Basically that shidduchim are hard, and he's very overwhelmed by the amount of girls and the amount of time and emotional energy that he has to put into continuously going out. And he feels that if he would look at a picture for a few seconds, he can decide if it's shayach or not and not waste his time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish you a lot of luck. I think it's a wonderful endeavor.
Thank you very much.
Kol tov. Take care. Bye-bye. Joining us is Reb Meir, a young man. He spent 5 years in Shidduchim, and the letter that started this entire discussion, I believe, was in the Mishpacha. He's been intimately involved with. Welcome, Reb Meir.
Thanks for having me.
So, Reb Meir, what do you think? You read a boy a Shidduch, and he says, can I get a picture of the girl? How would you respond?
Well, I would speak with the girl first, and I would see what her personal feeling on the matter is. If she's very much against it, then I would say no. And if she was okay with it, then I would send him the picture.
Let's say it was up to you. What would you do?
It was up to me in the sense that she told me send it or not send it.
She didn't have a strong feeling. What would you do?
I would send the picture. Yeah.
In other words, you don't think there's anything wrong with boys asking for pictures?
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with boys asking for pictures if the girl, like you said, if the girl was okay with it.
Now, do you think you could know a person from a picture?
Yes, and this is one of the reasons why, you know, I related to that guy's letter so much. I don't know who he is, but, you know, he's probably under a lot of stress right now considering the backlash. But I was told one of the reasons why I'm kind of, you know, invested in this discussion is because I was in the Parsha for a long time, and I was told a lot of the arguments that are very, you know, common against pictures. And I started off, you know, agreeing with them or, you know, following their advice to not take pictures. And, you know, I realized, and a lot of my friends realized, were in the Parsha with me, that it didn't seem to like correlate to reality. And one of the biggest, one of the most common arguments that people would have, shadchanim, rabbanim, whatever, against pictures is that they're not realistic or they're not accurate. And it just didn't seem to match our experience. And I think the biggest problem with saying pictures are or are not accurate is that the word pictures is just too vague. There's a lot of different kinds of pictures. Some pictures are very accurate. Some pictures aren't. Some pictures are touched up. Some pictures are very blurry. And to just say a blanket statement, pictures are accurate, pictures aren't accurate, it's just not a helpful way to phrase the issue. In my experience, and in my friend's experience, and all of the guys that we've spoken to, most of the time, they do give an accurate, a basically accurate representation of, you know, what someone looks like. Obviously, there are exceptions, but there are exceptions.
So Rav Meir, let me ask you a question. The most beautiful people in the world are the Hollywood starlets. So L'chaira, they should be, they would, if they were Jewish, they would make the best shidduchim. Some vacant starlet who'll be married, you know, I think Zsa Zsa Gabor was married 9 times or something like that. She would be the ultimate shidduch for a nice Lakewood boy. That's what you're suggesting.
No, not at all, not at all.
But she's beautiful. She's going to check every box on the picture.
No, that's not every box. I mean, she would check just the attraction box.
Okay. What other boxes and what else?
For instance, I think that marriage and dating and, you know, who to pick as a marriage partner, it's a complex issue. There's multiple factors.
Right.
Attraction is one of those issues.
Okay.
So just like you would want to know about a girl's hashkafa, you would want to know about a girl's mitzvos, you would want to know about a girl's family situation, her life plans, et cetera,
right,
before you would go out with her, especially if it's like a long distance and, you know, flights and, you know, money and, you know, taking off time from work or yeshiva, et cetera, you would want to know, you know, basic as much as you can about all of these different factors. One of them is, you know, appearance. And so, you know, I don't know who you were talking about, Zsa Zsa. I don't know. But like, if you saw a picture, then okay, she would have, assuming she would check that box, but I don't know what.
So I'm asking you. So,
probably wouldn't say anything nice about her mito.
But I understand that. But when you're looking at the picture, can you know personality from a picture?
So that's an interesting question, and it actually is not. It's to an extent you can, not obviously.
You can.
You can't know everything about.
You can tell personality from a picture.
No, not 100%, but
even 10%.
Let me explain.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and you have to take this with a grain of salt. But like, if a girl sends a picture and she's, let's say, I don't know, she was at camp and, you know, she's smiling from ear to ear, and she's, you know, working with, I don't know, you know, kids with disabilities, or she's Grand Canyon, or
she's sending you pictures. She's sending you pictures of her working with kids in Camp Hask. You've seen such a picture, Amo. These are the real outlier stories. 90%, it's a girl looking at it's a headshot. So can you tell me? Can you tell me this from a headshot? Can you tell all these things you just discussed? Me this personality, Ehrlichkeit, Feinkeit. You could tell these things from a picture. I have a perfect shidduch for you. You should go out with Taylor Swift. I mean, you see these airbrushed, beautiful pictures. It looks like, you know, Noya Lahmed, right? It's beautiful. That should be your date.
No, I'm saying, well, with regard to Taylor Swift, I'm saying you could say, what's it called? A picture is one aspect. She happens to say a lot of stupid things and a lot of stupid things that are in the tabloids. So that would automatically disqualify her from.
I understand. I'm talking about just the picture part. If all you
say, that is one aspect.
Is the looks, one you aspect. Say, is the looks.
Meaning, let me explain to you how, I guess, I would, my experience or what I would do.
Yeah.
If I got a resume with a picture, I wouldn't automatically say yes or no. If a girl sent a picture and she was very beautiful in the picture, I wouldn't automatically say yes. I would say, okay, here's a picture. She's, you know, she looks attractive enough that I'm interested. And then let me call her friends. Let me call her Bayam. Let me see, you know, did she go to this seminary? It seems like she's very modern. She go to that seminary. It seems like she's maybe too firm for me. But let me call and verify. And sometimes I would call, and the truth of the matter is they weren't for me. That happened many times, more times than I could count. I would see a picture, girl's perfectly attractive, but other issues, you know, hashkafa, life goals, different personalities that, you know, obviously you have to take that with a grain of salt. Everything's very vague and abstract.
So you're saying the picture is the first step in dating.
Now, yeah.
What happens when you have a girl who has, let's say, a fabulous personality, mm-hmm. right? Or she has other physical attractions that don't come across in the picture. Like, mm-hmm. I aren't you, like, looking at it really through a very tiny lens?
So, it depends. You're saying what happens if it's, like, a picture that's, you know, you can't, it's, like, a blurry, you can't really tell. It's not everything, not her entire beauty is going to come across in the picture. And then you say also, you know, wonderful personality. So, for me, you know, you have to take every picture with a grain of salt, depending on, you know, what the picture looks like. Sometimes you get a picture that's very, very close up, you know, it's just a headshot. You don't know. You know, sometimes it's very blurry. You can barely tell what the girl even looks like. And for me, I can't speak for every guy. For me, I didn't say when I looked at a picture, does this girl blow me away? Is she everything I'm looking for in looks? Is she the most beautiful girl I've ever seen? I said, is it in the ballpark? And then if I said, yes, in the ballpark, and I heard from her friends, from her BAM, from her, I don't know, other references that she has a great personality in the sense of the personality that I'm looking for, you know, then I would say yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mayor. Appreciate your words, your opinion, okay?
Thank you so much.
Cult of all the best. Bye-bye.